Ever heard that saying, like, wrong place, wrong time?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, today, we're going deep, deep into a case where just being there
Okay.
could land you in some really hot water, legally speaking. We're talking accomplice liability, and
Yeah.
specifically a case from Utah
Right.
called State v. VT.
Okay.
This one's for all our legal minds out there,
Yeah.
lawyers, law students,
Absolutely.
anyone who loves getting into the nitty-gritty of the law.
Yeah.
The big question is just passively being present when a crime happened
Right.
actually enough to make you guilty?
That's a really good question, and I think this case does a great job of unpacking
Yeah.
what it means to be truly involved in a crime.
Right.
We're not talking about just knowing about it, but actively taking part.
Okay, so set the scene for us. What exactly happened in this State v. DT case?
So we've got VT, a teenager hanging out with some friends at a relative's apartment.
Okay.
Sounds pretty normal so far,
So
right?
far, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the next day, the relative figures out some things are missing, two guns, and get this, a camcorder.
A camcorder. Whoa, that's a blast from the past.
Right. But here's where it gets interesting.
Right.
The camcorder was recording,
Oh, wow.
and the footage shows the friends talking about pawning it, but VT himself,
Yeah.
silent, doesn't say a word, doesn't really even react.
Wow.
He's just there.
Wait, so he gets convicted just for being in the room with the stolen camcorder.
Right.
That seems like a stretch.
And that's why this case is so important, I think. The juvenile court initially said, yep, guilty of theft as an accomplice, just based on him being there in the video and at the scene. But when the case went to the Utah Court of Appeals, they threw out that conviction.
Okay, I'm guessing they had some pretty strong reasoning behind that decision.
They did. They did. The appeals court really honed in on how accomplice liability is defined under Utah law. And it comes down to two key elements. First, you need intent. Did the person actually want the crime to happen?
Okay, intent makes sense. What's the second element?
Active participation.
Okay.
This means the person did something to contribute to the crime, soliciting, commanding, encouraging, or intentionally aiding.
Yeah.
Utah Code Section 762202 spells it all out pretty clearly.
So even if I know a crime's happening, maybe I even see it go down,
Right.
that alone doesn't make me an accomplice.
Exactly. And the court really drove home the point that passive behavior
Yeah.
does not equal guilt.
Right.
Just knowing or seeing isn't enough.
So let's say I'm walking with a friend and see them shoplift something. I don't say anything. Don't help them. Just pretend. Pretend I didn't notice.
Right.
Am I suddenly an accomplice to shoplifting?
Not at all. Not at all. You're a bystander in that scenario.
I'm not.
Unless you actively participate somehow.
Yeah.
Maybe you distract the cashier or help your friend hide the stolen item.
Right.
Then you're not legally on the hook.
Okay, that clears things up a bit.
Yeah.
But let's get back to VT. Why exactly did the appeals court overturn his conviction?
Right.
What didn't they like about the initial ruling?
So they had three main issues.
Okay.
First, they pointed out there was absolutely no evidence of VT actively participating.
Okay.
In the video, he doesn't talk, doesn't gesture,
Yeah,
doesn't
no.
even touch the camcorder. He's just
No.
existing.
So simply being there doesn't cut it.
Right.
Got it. What were the other two points?
Second, the prosecution didn't actually prove that VT intended for the theft to happen.
Okay.
Sure, he might have known about it,
Right.
but knowing something's going down and wanting it to happen
Yeah.
are two very different things.
That's a good distinction.
Yeah.
Just because you know about something doesn't mean you agree with it or want it to happen.
Right, exactly.
All right. What was the appeals court's final point?
So their last point was a big one.
Okay.
They argued that upholding this conviction would set a really dangerous precedent.
Okay.
Think about it. It could mean that anyone near a crime scene could be held liable,
Yeah.
even if they had nothing to do with it.
Right.
The court was seriously concerned about this potential for accomplice liability to be stretched way too far.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope for sure.
Right.
So In the court's opinion, simply being aware of a crime, even being present when it happens,
Right.
isn't enough to make you an accomplice. You
Yeah.
have to actively participate in some way.
You got it.
But how exactly did they define active participation? What does that look like in practice?
Well, they emphasized the importance of active encouragement.
Okay.
And they quoted the statute itself to make their point,
Yeah.
saying that passive behavior, absent active instigation or aid, is not enough
Yeah.
to prove someone is an accomplice.
That's a pretty powerful statement.
Yeah.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, prosecutors can't just point to someone's presence at a crime scene and say, "Aha, guilty."
Right, right.
They need hard evidence of actual actions or words to back up that accomplice liability charge.
Exactly. You think things like texts and encouraging the crime, yeah. offering to help, or even physically assisting in some way.
This case must have sent ripples through the legal community in Utah. How has state VT affected how accomplice liability cases are handled now?
Yeah, it's been pretty significant, you see.
Okay.
Before this case, the standard in Utah was that prosecutors had to show a substantial step
okay.
towards aid in a crime to prove accomplice liability.
So state VT raised the bar even higher.
Precisely.
Okay.
Now it's crystal clear that substantial step isn't enough on its own.
Gotcha.
Prosecutors need concrete evidence of active participation.
Right.
We're talking texts, emails, maybe even social media posts showing intent.
Okay.
Of course, physical evidence like fingerprints or DNA still matters too.
It sounds like prosecutors have their work cut out for them.
They do.
They can't just rely on assumptions or vague connections anymore.
Yeah, no more shortcuts.
They need to show the defendant was truly involved, not just a passive observer.
Exactly.
That's right. And for defense attorneys, this case is a huge win.
Huge win.
They now have much stronger grounds to challenge convictions based solely on their client's presence at a crime scene.
Yeah.
They can argue, look, my client might have been there,
yeah.
but there's no evidence they actually did anything wrong.
Right, right.
So state VT really, really shifted the balance.
Shifted the balance.
In accomplice liability cases.
Yeah.
Giving defense attorneys a more powerful tool to fight for their clients' rights.
Absolutely. A victory for due process.
Yeah.
This case makes it much harder to convict someone based on mere association or proximity to a crime.
It's fascinating how one case can have such a ripple effect.
Huge ripple effect.
Changing the legal landscape and redefining how we think about fundamental concepts like accomplice liability.
Absolutely.
But let's step back for a moment.
Okay.
What does all of this mean for the average person?
Right.
Someone who's not a lawyer or a law student.
Yeah, good question.
What's the key takeaway here?
I think the biggest takeaway for everyone is this. Understand the difference between witnessing a crime and participating in a crime.
Okay.
Just because you see something illegal happening,
yeah,
it doesn't automatically make you guilty.
But what if you're in a situation where you see something wrong happening?
Yeah.
What should you do?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
And there's no easy answer.
Right.
It depends on the situation. If you feel safe, you could intervene or report the crime to the authorities.
Okay.
But sometimes that's not possible or even advisable.
Right. What if you're concerned about your own safety or getting involved in a dangerous situation?
In those cases, the most important thing is to protect yourself.
Yeah.
But remember, simply witnessing a crime
without
actively participating
right.
doesn't make you legally liable.
Okay.
You're not obligated to put yourself in harm's way.
State VDT really, really drives home the point that you can't be punished for being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
You have a right to due process.
Yeah.
And the burden of proof is on the prosecution to show you were actively involved in the crime.
Yeah.
Not just a passive observer.
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
This case is a reminder that we shouldn't jump to conclusions about guilt
right.
based on association or proximity.
Yeah.
The justice system should focus on holding those who actually commit crimes accountable, not those who happen to be nearby.
This deep dive has been incredibly illuminating.
It has.
We've unpacked the intricacies of accomplice liability,
Yeah.
explored the impact of state VVT, and even tackled some tough ethical questions.
Definitely.
But I feel like we're just scratching the surface
Oh,
here.
yeah.
There's still so much to discuss.
Absolutely. Accomplice liability is a complex area of the law with all sorts of nuances and gray areas.
And that's why we're gonna dedicate another segment to dive in even deeper
Yeah.
into this fascinating topic.
All right, sounds good.
Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back to continue our exploration of accomplice liability. We'll be discussing some hypothetical scenarios
Okay.
and getting into the really nitty-gritty details of how this concept plays out in real-world legal cases.
I'm looking forward to it. It'd be like saying anyone watching a crime unfold on the street is automatically an accomplice.
Yeah.
That's not how our justice system works.
Right. That's a slippery slope for sure.
Yeah.
So in the court's opinion, simply being aware of a crime, even being present when it happens, isn't enough to make you an accomplice. You have to actively participate in some way.
Yeah.
But how exactly did they define active participation? What does that look like in practice?
Well, they emphasized the importance of active encouragement. Oh, yeah.
And they quoted the statute itself to make their point, saying that passive behavior, absent active instigation or aid, is not enough to prove someone is an accomplice.
That's a pretty powerful statement. So if I'm understanding this correctly, prosecutors can't just point to someone's presence at a crime scene and say, like, aha, guilty. They need hard evidence of actual actions or words to back up that accomplice liability charge.
Exactly. Think things like texts encouraging the crime, offering to help, or even physically assisting in some way.
This case must have sent ripples through the legal community in Utah. How has state VT affected how accomplice liability cases are handled now?
It's been pretty significant, you see.
Yeah.
Before this case, the standard in Utah was
Yeah.
that prosecutors had to show a substantial step
Okay.
towards aiding a crime
Right.
to prove accomplice liability.
So state VVT raised the bar even higher.
Precisely.
Now it's crystal clear that substantial step isn't enough on its own. Prosecutors need concrete evidence of active participation. We're talking texts, emails, maybe even social media posts showing intent. Of course, physical evidence like fingerprints or DNA still matters too.
It sounds like prosecutors have their work cut out for them.
They do. They
They
do.
can't just rely on assumptions or vague connections anymore.
Yeah, no more shortcuts.
They need to show the defendant was truly involved,
Right.
not just a passive observer.
Exactly.
That's
Exactly.
right. And for defense attorneys, this case is a huge win.
Huge win.
They now have much stronger grounds to challenge convictions
Yeah.
based solely on their client's presence at a crime scene.
Yeah.
They can argue, like, look, my client might have been there, but there's no evidence they actually did anything wrong.
Right.
So
Yeah.
state VVT really shifted the balance in accomplice liability cases,
Sifted the balance.
giving defense attorneys a more powerful tool to fight for their clients' rights.
Absolutely, a victory for due process.
Yeah.
This case makes it much harder to convict someone based on mere association
Yeah.
or proximity to a crime.
It's fascinating how one case can have such a ripple effect,
Huge ripple effect.
changing the legal landscape and redefining how we think about fundamental concepts like accomplice liability.
Absolutely.
But let's step back for a moment.
Okay.
What does all of this mean for the average person, someone who's not a lawyer or a law student? What's the key takeaway here?
I think that the biggest takeaway for everyone is this. Understand the difference between witness in a crime and participating in a crime. Just because you see something illegal happen in it doesn't automatically make you guilty.
But what if you're in a situation where you see something wrong happening? What should you do?
That's a tough question, and there's no easy answer. Right.
It depends on the situation. If you feel safe, you could intervene or report the crime to the authorities.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's not possible or even advisable.
Right. What if you're concerned about your own safety or getting involved in a dangerous situation?
In those cases, the most important thing is to protect yourself. But remember, simply witnessing a crime without actively participating doesn't make you legally liable. You're not obligated to put yourself in harm's way.
Stevie VT really drives home the point that you can't be punished for being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
You have a right to due process, and the burden of proof is on the prosecution to show you are actively involved in the crime, not just a passive observer.
That's a crucial point. This case is a reminder that we shouldn't jump to conclusions about guilt
based on association or proximity. The justice system should focus on holding those who actually commit crimes accountable, not those who happen to be nearby.
This deep dive has been incredibly illuminating.
It has.
We've unpacked the intricacies of accomplice liability,
mm-hmm.
explored the impact of State VT,
yeah.
and even tackled some tough ethical questions.
Absolutely.
But I feel like we're just scratching the surface here.
Oh yeah.
There's still so much to discuss.
Definitely. Accomplice liability is a complex area of the law with all sorts of nuances and gray areas.
And that's why we're gonna dedicate another segment to diving even deeper into this fascinating topic.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back to continue our exploration of accomplice liability. We'll be discussing some hypothetical scenarios,
okay.
and getting into the really nitty-gritty details of how this concept plays out in real-world legal cases.
Looking forward to it.
Welcome back to the show. We've been really dissecting accomplice liability using the State VVT case as our guide. It's been quite a journey through the twists and turns of Utah law, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. And now that we have a solid understanding of the core principles, I think it's time to put our knowledge to the test.
Uh-huh.
Let's explore some hypothetical scenarios and see how these concepts play out in real world situations.
Perfect. I've got a few scenarios swirling around in my head that I'm dying to get your take on.
Okay, I'm all ears. Hit me with your best shot.
Okay, first one. Imagine you're at a party.
Okay.
And you see someone, you know, slip a piece of jewelry into their bag.
Okay.
From the host's dresser.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say anything because you don't want to make a scene.
Right.
Or get your friend in trouble.
Right.
Based on what we've learned, would that make you an accomplice to the theft?
That's a classic example of the bystander dilemma. It's
yeah.
it's a tough spot to be in ethically and legally.
Right.
But based on the precedent set by State VD, simply witnessing a crime without actively participating
right.
wouldn't make you an accomplice.
So even though you saw the theft and didn't report it,
right,
you're not legally responsible for what happened.
Correct.
Okay.
Remember, accomplice liability requires both intent and active participation.
Yeah.
Staying silent in this scenario,
right,
while perhaps ethically questionable,
Dark.
doesn't necessarily meet that legal threshold.
Okay, that makes sense. But let's switch gears a bit. Hmm. What if you're in a car with a friend who's driving recklessly?
Okay.
Maybe even speeding or running red lights.
Yeah.
You know they're breaking the law.
Right.
But you don't say anything.
Mm.
Are you liable in that situation? Say if they get into an accident.
Mm. Now this scenario is where things get a bit murkier.
Okay.
We're moving into the territory of negligence.
Okay.
Simply being a passenger in a car.
Right.
Doesn't automatically make you an accomplice to every traffic violation the driver commits.
Right.
However, knowing about the illegal actions and failing to try and prevent them,
yeah.
Well, that could be seen as contributing to their negligence.
So in some cases, staying silent could be interpreted as a form of participation.
Exactly.
Especially if your inaction put others at risk.
Exactly. It all boils down to the specifics of the situation,
so,
and whether your silence could be, you know, reasonably construed
okay.
as a breach of duty or even a form of encouragement.
Okay.
Did you have a realistic opportunity to intervene? Did your silence implicitly condone the dangerous behavior?
Yeah.
These are all questions the court would consider.
These hypothetical situations really, really highlight the gray areas of accomplice liability, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
It's not always a clear-cut black and white issue.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this area of the law so fascinating and challenging.
Right.
It forces us to grapple with not just the legal definitions,
right,
but also the ethical implications, yeah, of our actions, even when we're not the ones directly committing a crime.
It's a good reminder that we all have a responsibility to think critically about our actions and how, mm-hmm, they might affect others,
mm-hmm,
even in situations where we're not the main actors.
Yeah.
But speaking of responsibility, I think it's important to acknowledge the potential for accomplice liability to be misused or even abused.
That's a valid concern. Any legal concept,
right,
can be twisted or applied in ways that weren't originally intended. Right. There's always the risk that accomplice liability,
right,
could be used to target individuals,
right,
based on their associations or beliefs rather than their actual actions.
We've seen this happen in other areas of the law,
yeah,
where individuals are swept up in investigations,
right,
or prosecutions,
yeah,
simply because they know someone,
right,
who committed a crime, even if they had no involvement themselves.
Exactly.
It's a scary thought.
It is. And that's why it's so important for the justice system to have safeguards in place to protect individual rights.
Right.
The principle of due process,
right,
is paramount.
Yeah.
Prosecutors must present evidence of active participation,
yeah,
beyond a reasonable doubt. Mere suspicion or guilt by association,
yeah,
should never be enough to convict someone.
This deep dive into accomplice liability has been a real eye opener. We've gone from a seemingly simple case, Date VVT,
right,
to a much, much broader discussion about the complexities of the law,
yeah,
ethical considerations,
mm,
and even the potential for misuse.
Absolutely.
It's been quite a journey, and it all started, mm, with that one question.
Yeah.
Can simply being present when a crime happens make you guilty?
Right.
As we've discovered, the answer is far more nuanced,
yeah,
than a simple yes or no.
Exactly.
We've explored the legal definitions, the elements of intent and active participation,
uh-huh,
the impact of state VVT on Utah law,
yeah,
and even delved into some thought-provoking hypothetical scenarios.
That's the fun.
But I think the biggest takeaway for our listeners is this.
Huh.
Accomplice liability is a complex issue with real-world consequences. It's something we all need to be aware of, whether we're legal professionals,
right,
or just navigating the complexities of everyday life.
Well said.
Yeah.
Understanding the nuances of accomplice liability can help us, you know, make informed decisions, protect our rights,
yes,
and ensure that the justice system is applied, you know, fairly and justly.
This case and this deep dive,
yeah,
is a reminder that the law is constantly evolving.
Absolutely.
It's our responsibility to stay informed, engage in critical thinking,
mm-hmm,
and ask tough questions.
Absolutely.
Because in the end, justice depends on all of us being active participants,
yeah,
not just passive observers.
Well said. I think that's a great way to wrap things up.
Okay, great.
And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive,
yeah,
into accomplice liability. Thank you for joining us on this journey. We hope you found it as thought-provoking and insightful as we did.
And remember, if you want to delve even deeper into this topic, be sure to check out the show notes for links to the full case opinion,
yes,
of relevant statutes and other resources. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring the fascinating world of the law.
See you next time.